it's a win-win situation. So since we started, we've raised about $7,200, and that just goes right into the general fund. So I thought you'd like to know that. Thank you.
And my announcement is a reminder that this afternoon's Funtastics concert is going to come off Broadway and beyond. The weather cooperated. I was so glad. You could see Ralph for tickets this morning for $12. I sold all mine, Ralph, so. And otherwise, it's $15 at the door. If for some reason you or a friend of yours can't make it out this afternoon but still would like to see the concert, we've Elner Hall, who's one of the singers, her son does live streaming and is going to do it for us for free, kind of thing. You can click on the link, and they'll accept. We'll still donate our $12 to accessibility, and you can do it either by credit card or by PayPal, I believe. It's the first time I've been on something like this, but it'll be really cool to see how it works. The link is available for up to 3 days, so you can watch it as many times as you want. You can start it later then. It doesn't have to be right at the time of the concert, apparently. And so it should be really cool to see how that works. And the link will be on either our Facebook page or the church's website. And I have an email. If for some reason you don't have it, I can email the link to you too. So hope to see you live this afternoon, though.
Good morning, everyone. After the sermon today, Gus will be playing a musical reflection. And following that, the choir will sing and the congregation will sing hymn 701. And just a little heads up, it's a round, and rounds sound more beautiful when everyone sings and everyone sings their own part. So the way it's going to work, to make things easy, Gus is going to play the melody on the piano. The choir will sing the entire round, and then we're going to have it play again, and we would like everyone to sing the round all together in unison, same part at the same time. After that, we're going to break into three groups. Mary Lynn will be on this side, and if you're singing right here, Mary Lynn will lead this half in singing the round. Philip is going to be on the other side, and he'll lead this half of the congregation, and then the choir will be part number three. So, Gus plays it once, the choir sings the whole thing once, we all sing it together once, and then we actually turn it into the round with the harmony. Side A following Mary Lynn, side B following Philip, and then the choir being the third voice in the round.
And we just sing it once through.
And we're just going to sing all together once. So we're not going to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. Sound good?
Is it just one verse?
Well, it's actually three verses, but it's written like one verse. So
That's what I was wondering, yeah.
But don't worry, you'll be out of here by one.
That's right. So. And it is in 701 in your book. And I know there are a number of books with the music out there. So please feel free to join us. We would love that. Thank you.
Jan just said she's going to be leading you in the white church for that part of that hymn. At the end.
Section four,
yeah. So what a day. Beautiful day outside. How could you have a better day than today to enable you to participate in the future planning of our church? It doesn't get any nicer than this. No weather to worry about. And maybe after the first round, those of you who are going to participate should slip out. Yeah. So we'll get out of here sometime this afternoon. So you need to know, some of you have already let me know that you're going to participate. We still have room. We're going to meeting in room B right after service, after the last round. We'll be over there. Now, what you also need to understand is that we've been conducting these sessions now since the very first part of January. We is the Community of Faith Profile Committee that you guys selected to help pull together the plan for the future direction of this church. We think we're fairly important in terms of what we're going to recommend to you. So and you need to think that. So we've been running these sessions since early January. We've had about 10 of them. We've got roughly 100 people who have participated so far. So here's my point. If you're okay with that 100 people setting the direction and making the recommendations, then you don't have to get off your pew. You can just sit there. When we do make our recommendations, if you haven't gotten off your pew by that time, we're really not expecting to hear a lot from you. Do you get what I'm saying? You either participate now or you sit quietly afterwards. Thank you.
Any other announcements? All right.
So we have a few. First off, I need to announce the annual meeting of the congregation. As last year, it's going to happen after worship on the last Sunday of this month, February 23rd. The worship that day will be a little bit shorter, and then we will go right into the annual meeting. Secondly, today after worship, I'll once again be doing a session downstairs called Fill in the Blanks. The CD committee has asked me to do, which will be feedback on the sermon, questions about Micah, questions about the sermon, those kind of things. Comments, right.
And back to the annual meeting. On that day, we will not be doing any spoken announcements. We figure that's an easy way to keep things a little bit shorter in that service. And so they can be written in the bulletin or in the newsletter, but they won't be spoken. And you'll also notice the newsletter's back. We're so excited. So it was coming out in electronic form the last couple months, as you know, because we've been having problems with sending out mass emails with attachments. That has been fixed after lots of work by Shelley and Peter and some other folks trying to figure out the way. And so it's back to the way it was. So you can pick one up outside and take it home with you and put it on your fridge.
Just a couple from me. This is the first Sunday of the month, so it's Food Bank Sunday. If you happen to remember that and brought some donations in, we thank you very much. They're always much needed and always appreciated. But know that groceries can come and financial donations can come in at any time for the food bank. And we're talking about the East Dartmouth Christian Food Bank, which takes place here on Thursday morning in the Heritage Center. So thank you for your donations. The other thing I have is, thank God it's Thursday, this coming Thursday, TGIT will begin at 7, and Rick Gunn is our presenter. He will be talking to us about our More Voices hymn book, and the choir will be participating at least from 7 to 8. But we ask that if you're interested and you love singing and you want to know more about More Voices, please come out and hear a little bit of the history of it and sing some songs with us. We'd love to have you. So that's this Thursday at 7 p.m.
And on February 14th, for those of you who don't have other plans, we have a family fun night, paint night coming up. From where you are, you could probably only see blue with like a big star, but trust me, there's like a turtle, and there's some coral and seaweed and some fish, and you could be as creative as you like. It's really easy. I went last night, I learned how to do it, now I'm going to teach it to all of you guys. And so everybody's welcome, up to 30 people. So I already have 9 on the list. And we'll be able to have 30. So if you're interested, please let me know or let the office know, and they'll let me know. And it's going to be 6:30 on the 14th. That's a Friday. And all people of all ages are welcome to come.
Great. I don't know if we have done this already, but we'd like to welcome anybody who's visiting with us today, anybody who's a newcomer. There is coffee time after the service, and welcome to Woodlawn.
So it's time for birthdays and celebrations. Oh, maybe we should do that.
Yeah.
So we made a decision at our staff meeting this week. It doesn't take much to open up the newspaper to see about all of the respiratory viruses and things that are going around right now. And we decided that you guys don't really listen to us when we say don't shake hands, even if we write it in the bulletin. And so for the next few weeks, we're just going to skip it. And we're going to... And we're just going to not do that part. But still, greet your neighbor. Just there won't be a section in the time. And don't shake hands. Okay.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. Yeah, very good.
All right. Okay. Now we are going to do celebrations. So any birthdays or anniversaries anywhere out there?
Awesome.
Wow.
Awesome.
58th anniversary. You're supposed to make a big speech about him. That's what he always does, Jennifer. Fred Evans.
Oh, in Jamaica. All right, I guess we're going to sing.
Congratulations to you, to Jesus be true. May God's riches bless you.
As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are, by law, the unceded territories of the Mi'kmaq.
May we live with respect on this land, and in peace and friendship with its people.
Let us gather together as disciples on the way. Come, let us listen together for the Spirit's guidance.
We open our hearts and minds to what God is saying to us.
Come, let us be empowered to worship and serve the risen Christ.
We gather to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God.
Our opening hymn is number 135 and More Voices, but the words will be on the screen, Called by Earth and Sky.
Thank you.
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As a symbol of Christ's loving presence among us, we light the Christ candle. Let's take a moment for sacred silence. Loving God, we give thanks for the light of Christ within us and around us. May it open our hearts and minds to the light of your truth in our worship today. Amen. And as we sing our response, A Light is Gleaming, I invite all the children to come forward for story time with Shannon.
How's everybody today? Good. Do you know that today, the scripture that's going to be read in a little while, it's super tiny, and it's one of my favorite. I love it. And do you know what it says? It kind of says like that, that's on the front. Act justly, which also means do justice. Love mercy, which also is love kindness. And walk humbly with God. And I think that I could tell you lots about that, but instead, I decided that today maybe we'll listen to some music and watch some photos that I think actually explain ways that Woodlawn is already doing this really well. Okay? So you gotta watch the screen. Did you like it? Shows us, I think, some ways that we're already trying to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. And of course, there's lots of ways we can continue to do that or new things to try. But I think we're actually doing a pretty great job here at Woodlawn. So let's say a prayer, and then you guys can go downstairs to Sunday school, and today you're going to start to talk about Joseph. Mm-hmm. You know this one? That's good. Let's say a prayer. Dear God,
help us
to do justice,
to love kindness,
and walk humbly with you. Amen.
Thank you.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And now Psalm 15, which is found on page 736 and on the screen.
Within your holy place, O God,
or who may dwell, one who
within your holy place, O God, who shall dwell?
one who leads a blameless life, who does what is right, who speaks truthfully from the heart, one whose tongue is free from malice, who never wrongs a friend, who utters no reproach against a neighbor, one who cannot respect the unworthy, but honors those who fear God, who stands by a promise given, though it be to personal disadvantage, one who will not take interest on a loan, nor accept a bribe to testify against the innocent. Whoever does this shall never be overthrown. May God bless our understanding of his word.
The Old Testament reading today is from the prophet
Micah, chapter 6. Hear what the Lord says. Rise and plead my case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? In what way have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent you before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised and what Balaam son of Beor answered him and what happened at Shittim and Gilgal. And you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I give my firstborn as my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? Through the reading of all these scriptures, may you hear the word of God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So it's not news, but surveys have been telling us that less and less North Americans are coming to church to worship. There are fewer folks in church these days, and there's probably more religious diversity in North America than there has ever been, including on the census form when people check none of the above. But even though regular church attendance is down, we are still a very religious country. 80 to 90% claim to believe in some understanding of the divine or of God. And even though we're not a churched country, we are still a very religious country. And among all those who publicly claim religious affiliations and use religious language are politicians. Of course, in the United States, they're a lot more explicit about that than we are up here, but large numbers of evangelicals are involved politically supporting the current president, while on the other hand, there are large numbers of others who see him as the Antichrist and the father of lies. So how are we supposed to figure all of this out? How are we supposed to connect religious language and know what is true, what is right, and what God requires of us? Is it church attendance, or is it something else, or both? Maybe we need to look at the fruits of the leadership that we've had who claim divine endorsement. What kind of society and laws they produce? 2 weeks ago, it was Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and this month is Black History Month. And yet the rise of racism against people of color, it's on the rise. This past week was the 75th anniversary of the Shoah, what we call the Holocaust. And yet one of the statistics I read this past week was that we've had a 65% rise in anti-Semitic attacks in Canada, not the United States, in Canada, just in the last few years. The numbers of billionaires has doubled, and yet Mary Lynn and Shannon and I are seeing more and more people coming into our offices whose situation means that they can't work, or some of them are actually the working poor, and they do not receive enough money to pay their basic bills. Not even their basic bills. And now the most recent thing, with this coronavirus up there, they tell me the rise of racism against people from Asia is on the rise as well. So how does all this paying lip service to religion by us and by the powerful translate into policies and laws that promote religious values and visions, God's will for creation, if you will? We sing, worship and work must be one. That's one of the hymns that we have. But as a nation, as individuals, and as a province, are we really doing that? Are we practicing what we preach? In our reading today from the prophet Micah, we see that he was dealing with the same kind of problem. A disconnect between words and actions. A lack of connection between what happens in worship practices on their Sabbath and living the holy life the other 6 days of the week. Micah's worldview included a God that was in full control and who was angry about how the powerful in society were treating the poor and in their business practices and in the law courts. And like his contemporaries, Amos and Hosea and Isaiah, he would interpret Israel and Judah's impending military loss and exile as God's discipline for all of this corruption and injustice in social life. His clear word from God seems to be that religious practices are no substitute for justice and righteousness. His contemporary, the prophet Amos, says it even more clearly. He says, on behalf of God, I despise your solemn assemblies and your worship practices. Instead, you need to let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This particular passage from Micah 6 that we read today is set up like a courtroom case. There are three or four characters that we need to distinguish. First off, God is the plaintiff. God is bringing a case against Israel and Judah for breaking the covenant agreement. Micah acts as God's prosecutor. The mountains are the witness or the jury, and the power brokers and the politicians of Israel and Judah are the defendant. God, through Micah, reminds the people, to begin with, of the covenant that God has made with them, and how, right from the beginning, God has brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery, under Pharaoh's thumb. And even more things throughout their history up until the present time when Micah was writing, about how God had been looking after them, being on their side, being on the side of the slave and the underdog. God, through Micah, then demands the people to respond to the charges of breaking the covenant. Why are they treating God and God's laws so poorly? God was pretty clear what God wanted. The people who are the defendant don't reply with confession or repentance or an I'm sorry. What they reply with is sarcasm. Well, what does God want from us anyway? You know, what can we do to make this problem go away, God? What does the Lord require of us anyway? And then they suggest bribes in the form of religious sacrifices, or maybe by using exaggerated examples, they're suggesting of the futility of ever trying to please God. You know, shall we bring thousands of rams and sheep? Endless streams of olive oil. Maybe we should even bring our own firstborn, our own children, to be sacrificed. How can we ever repay God? How can we ever meet such high standards? Micah responds for God. God is not interested in appeasement in the form of sacrifices and burnt offerings. God wants change, personal change, social transformation. God wants a lot more from them than just coming to the temple with some sacrificial offerings. God wants the people to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. I repeat, what God wants is to do justice, not just talk about it, but to do it. To love mercy, not just to dispense charity grudgingly, if at all. And to walk with God in humility. Let's look at these things a little more closely. Do justice. At other times, I've mentioned to you that the word justice in the Bible can be divided into at least two types of justice. Group one is the kind of justice we hear about most commonly in the media and in Hollywood, you know, in movies. If you see the word justice in a movie that's advertised at the theater or on Netflix or whatever, you can almost count on it that this is the meaning of that kind of justice. Somebody with special skills at killing has their family killed, and then the whole rest of the movie is about revenge. It's about righting the scales. And it's not even an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth for the most part. It's usually about wipe out the whole drug cartel, whatever. Justice as revenge is number one. But then there is justice as fairness and honesty, and it's based and it looks first to what is needed. What is needed? The idea that God is a creator of all people and things and desires a little bit of sharing and equality, and for us as stewards or managers to make it so. What God requires in Micah is that the poor, widows, and orphans be looked after, and that the powerful not pervert their business practices or the law courts. Doing justice for Micah meant not keeping quiet about the abuses he was seeing, but speaking up publicly. As the Beatitudes put it, we are called to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because we will be filled. There is hope in those Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are full of hope and optimism that there will come a day when all these things will come pass. Justice for Micah's God was meeting the basic needs regardless of status or power. Love, kindness, and mercy. Secondly, the Lord requires of us mercy and kindness. As the Beatitudes put it, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer actually says something like this too. Sometimes when I'm leading the Lord's Prayer, you might notice I don't take a breath where a lot of people do. There's no comma when it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us, or trespasses those who have trespassed against us. You know, Matthew's has a sense of fairness, and he always suggests that, you know, God's going to forgive us probably in the same way as we forgive others. But in practice, you know, this often works the other way around. It could have just as easily been said, blessed are those who have received mercy, for they're more likely to be merciful to others. It's so difficult for any of us, I think, to pass on grace and forgiveness if we've never received it ourselves. Micah knew how much God had first loved and been merciful to him and to Judah and to Israel. How many times God had forgiven the countries, and how God was slow to anger. God is merciful, and so should we be. Micah is tapping into that part of the tradition which emphasizes God's love and forgiveness and kindness. And even though Micah and the other prophets warn about the impending doom that'll happen if they don't smarten up and turn things around, all of these prophets usually end with words of hope and restoration. For God's anger is but for the moment, but God's mercy is for a lifetime. God's discipline is not the same as that kind of justice which is punishment and revenge. Again and again, God forgives Israel. Israel is then asked to show kindness and mercy and forgiveness to others. If you will, pay it forward. Pay it forward. God has already given it to you. Pay it forward. And finally, walk humbly with God. So let's start with a clarification about humbly and humility. You know, what I think it doesn't mean here is for us to cultivate a sense of low self-esteem and to be groveling all the time, to be humiliated, to do penance for our many sins and go around with a cloud over our heads because we are so sinful. Most simply, humility, I think, means acknowledging that God is God. We are not. We are not the center of the universe. You know, little children for the first 2 or 3 years of their life are taught that they are the center of the universe, and then for the rest of their lives they learn that they're not. You know? And that's the same with all of us. We need to know we are not God. And neither are the rich and powerful are not God. Only God is God. You know? To walk humbly with God means that we're called to cultivate a spiritual discipline, to have an awareness of the ever-present Spirit with us as we travel along this life and faith journey. We all need God, whether we know it or not. Our lives need to resonate with the Spirit of God and God's will for creation. That's when we will be blessed, like in the Beatitudes. That's when we'll be happy, is when we're in tune with what God wants and God wants for creation. Actually, you know, all three of these requirements go together. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Religious practices and ethics need to be inseparable. They need to be two sides of the same coin, three sides of the triangle, whatever. But they all need to go together. Micah and the prophets have something to say to us personally, socially, and politically. Let me ask you a few questions you can answer to think whether we're actually doing what this is saying. Why do we keep electing those who are sponsored and favor policies in our country and in the other countries of the world who favor the rich and powerful? Why do we have a justice system where the poor are the ones who end up going to jail and the rich get off scot-free? Why have we accepted and repeated the ideology that nothing's ever going to change, we've lost hope, so why bother even change, and you may as well look after number one? Why do we repeat those kind of things? You know, in whose advantage is it that we do that? In this season of Epiphany, we are called to learn how to be faithful disciples of Jesus. Jesus, who was a prophet who preached good news, especially to the poor. And we can give thanks for that prophet before him, Micah, Amos, Hosea, and all the others. And give thanks for the Spirit of God who enable us to begin to make it so. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. In Judaism and Christianity, maybe in contrast to some of the ancient Greek religions, you can't have one without the other. You can't love God and not be compassionate, forgiving, and fair. Amen.
What does the Lord require?
require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Justice, kindness, walk humbly with your God. To seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Justice, kindness, walk humbly with your God. To seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly.
Minute permission today is Easing Past Ills, Tada McGoosh. It's a beautiful spring day in Nova Scotia, and at Tada McGoosh Center, people are scrambling through the underbrush looking for special plants, plants to settle a tummy ache or a headache, or plants to help ease many of life's daily ills. Under the watchful, careful watch of Judy Bernard Gugu, I make him a healer, everyone is learning a few of the basics from centuries of Mi'kmaq traditional healings. Judy learned it from her mother, as did her mother before her. Now, Judy wants to share her knowledge with others. We are all one people, she says. At Tada McGoosh, mending the divide between indigenous and non-indigenous people is a high priority. By openly sharing their traditions and learning together about the plants and herbs that are the basic of traditional Mi'kmaq healing, which creates a window into Mi'kmaq culture. They will build bridges of understanding. Everything is done with respect. You have to respect the plant. Take only what you need and always give thanks to the Creator for providing these healing medicines, explained Judy. You have to be careful. There are a lot of plants that can hurt you. It's like going to the drugstore. You have to make sure you choose the right medicine. That's the knowledge I have that I want to share. Your gifts to mission and service help support programs at education centers that bring people in communities together to learn. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join me making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of her mission and service.
Friends, our offering is one of the most profound witnesses we are able to make. The giving of our gifts and our lives speaks to our faithfulness, and being faithful to God is loving what God loves: justice, kindness, and walking humbly with God. May our witness be so strong that it inspires others to faith. With this in mind, let us offer our gifts to God. The offering will now be received. Loving and gracious God, these gifts are our witness to loving you and to loving what you love: justice, kindness, and walking humbly with you. Bless these gifts so they will be found useful in bettering this community and the kingdom of God on earth. May they support the ways of being that Jesus taught each of us. And may they be the fulfillment of all that this community of Christ holds dear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let us say a new creed together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God,
who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. God of love, creator and sustainer of all, we praise you. Through the teachings of Jesus and the words of the ancient prophets, you show us the way to abundant life. With Jesus' Holy Spirit in us, we are guided and spiritually nurtured, and we are thankful. O Holy One, hear our concerns for the world. We ask for your help to spread justice around the globe. This week, the United States celebrated the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., who brought to the world's attention the evilness of racism, that it does not reflect the love and peace you call us to. Help us, O God. Show us the way to work for justice. As well, this week is the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. May this horror never happen again. We ask that you continue to instill in us a love for all people and a willingness to stand up for everyone, no matter the race. We pray, O God, that your presence and love overshadow such immense hate and lead us into being justice doers in this broken world. As well, we ask for your loving presence to help China and other countries deal with the outbreak of the coronavirus. We pray for medical professionals who work to relieve those suffering from this virus. And we ask for your loving presence to surround all who are grieving the recent deaths of loved ones due to this virus. May the illness cease and may healing come. We remember Australia. We ask for your presence there, O God, where the fires still rage and your beautiful creation continues to be destroyed. We pray for the people who are now rendered homeless and for those working to fight the fires. We ask for your Holy Spirit to work in ways that are helpful and healing, and to offer our gratitude for your caring work in Australia and around the world. God of healing, we humbly pray for people in our own community who are ill, grieving, or going through anxious or troubling times. Surround them with your healing energy and peace. Silently or aloud, we lift up our concerns and the names of those on our hearts. Help us, loving God, to always see the light of Christ's love shining before us, showing us words and ways to be a comforting presence in this world. And now, in the name of Jesus, who offers mercy and grace to all, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn is Voices United 424, May the God of Hope Go With Us.
You can guess what my commissioning today will be. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God, and as you do so, may the grace of Christ attend you, the love of God surround you, and the Holy Spirit empower you today and always. Amen.